speaking won't be interrupted on the tape. Go ahead. And don't forget to keep your voice level way high.
Okay. But now they have, like I said, the technology has gotten incredibly, it's just incredible what they're doing now, because they have a small actual turbine, and they run on propane or kerosene. And there are several manufacturers out there now.
You're talking about actual turbine jet engines?
Yes, sir.
That's incredible. How small are these things?
Well, you know, there some of them are pretty big. Other ones are nominal size, just like Telemaster.
How big are the planes?
Well, like your Telemaster, like Bob Violet makes several single engine jets. Tom Cook makes a real nice one. They're about six wingspan, and they have two fuel tanks in them, and you cram your servos in there. It's really a chore sometimes to figure out where to mount your servos with the ducted fan unit and the engine and everything in there.
By servos, you mean what actually makes the control surfaces work, right?
Right.
Okay.
And I can tell you from experience that flying a jet, a radio control jet, could not be closer to flying a real airplane. And you can fly these jets out of sight.
Wow.
You can't tell what attitude they are. They go by so fast. We've had them clocked at 250 miles an hour. And they've become so fast now that they're actually making the jet, the wings, and the fuselages out of composite material, where they're already molded, and you just glue them together with epoxy resin and stuff like that. But for what you want to do, I taught my son. He was really active with me, and back when I was learning to fly, and he was, the Falcon 56 was a good one to learn on. But this Telemaster, I've taught a lot of fellas how to fly with this Telemaster, and I tell you, if it's set up right and you get the right guy or person to help you, you shouldn't break it. It should last forever and ever. My son, he still has his, and he's got well over 500 flights on that Telemaster.
Wow, you're making me feel awful good, because that's something we can afford.
Well, I can tell you that the radio equipment, whether it's Vitaba, I'm a JR electronic guy, Vitaba is awfully good as well.
But you know, that 6XA is only $199.
Yeah, you know what it used to be? That same radio, it's a four-channel radio.
It's a six-channel.
Six-channel. Okay.
$199 for a six-channel computer radio.
10 years ago, that radio would have cost you over $400.
Good grief.
But the radios are so good now that if you crash, it's usually pilot error.
Well, isn't that what usually happens even in real planes?
Well, you have malfunction.
Well, I know. I was an aircraft mechanic, believe it or not. I worked on KC-135 and B-52 aircraft when I was in the Air Force, and I specialized in pneumatics and hydraulics, and so I'm acquainted with all of that stuff. And but most of the planes that I've ever known to crash, usually it was always ruled a result of pilot error.
Yeah.
Especially a multi-engine aircraft, it's pretty hard to crash a plane because an engine went out.
Yeah, I had a Tom Cook F-4 that was a twin engine, and also I had an F-14 Tomcat, and both these aircraft were built to scale, and they had retractable gear and drag chutes that popped out on landing, and on the F-14, the wings swept back.
Wow.
And, you know, I had $19,000 in that particular airplane.
You're joking. You actually spent $19,000 on a model airplane?
Oh, yes. I just loved it. I can tell you, when I got into the jet aircraft part of it, it was more expensive. I have a Comanche 250, Piper Comanche.
Uh-huh.
More the hobby, the radio-controlled jet hobby, was more expensive than my real airplane.
That's incredible.
But I want to tell you, there's no bigger thrill. That's as close to flying a real jet aircraft as you'll ever get.
Wow.
It's just like the real thing.
I mean, well, I was sort of thinking that flying anything would be a thrill, you know.
Yeah.
When I was a boy, flying U-Control was a great thrill. And
oh, yeah.
Every once in a while, I would do a rubber band-powered model that actually, for some reason, flew. And that was a big thrill.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that the girls will get a big thrill out of this and that we'll also be able to use it to help us out in our situation.
Well, you'd be surprised how quick the kids catch on because...
Children. I don't want to get beat up now. Every time somebody says that word on my radio show, I hear about it.
I apologize for that. Don't put them on there and call me any names.
No, I won't.
But they learn very fast.
Uh-huh.
And you can actually, on the gimbals of these new radio units, you can slow down how fast you want the throw to be.
By gimbals, you're talking about the little control knobs? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the sticks, the actual control sticks.
So you could make it really touchy, or you could make it where you really have to push it over to make it do anything. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly right.
Well, that would be very helpful, wouldn't it?
Yes, it is. Especially when you're flying jets, even for a seasoned flyer, they're going, as you know, the faster you go, the more sensitive the control surfaces.
Yeah, and you don't have any feedback either. In other words, I know in a real airplane, when you move that stick, you have feedback. You feel what's happening out there on the wings or on the tail.
Right.
But you don't have that with these, or do you? Maybe I'm making an assumption here that's not true. Do you have feedback with these radio control things?
No, there's no feedback. It's kind of like the F-16s that the military flies, the fly-by-wire. I know they've built in the feedback or the back pressure on the control, so there is some feeling.
Yeah.
But this is like flying by wire.
That's true even on B-52s, it was built in.
Yeah, but if you're a seasoned pilot and you understand aerodynamics, you know you have to stay ahead of an airplane all the time, at least a couple of steps ahead of it.
Uh-huh.
So when you push in a command on the stick, you know right away what it's going to do. I've had my jets fly out of sight where I couldn't tell what attitude they were because I just couldn't see the wings. It was just a dot. And I just was thinking in my mind, okay, when I had my hand or my thumb off the stick, it was flying straight and level. So I would feed in a little left and a little up in it, and it would, and pray to God that it would come back around because it, I had about $2,800 from a single engine jet.
Uh-huh. But, I don't know anything about radio-controlled model airplanes. I think the building of them is probably not much different than it was when I was a boy. But flying them will be a completely new experience for me. But I do know enough about things that I know they have very small gyros now for these helicopters. And you could rig a gyro with a transmitter that would tell you the attitude of your plane all the time,
That's
even
right.
if you couldn't see it.
We were putting the gyros in our jets, too, to do that.
Uh-huh.
And you can, really sink a lot of money and get really elaborate with these things. But I had a couple of radio-controlled helicopters, and so my wife made me get rid of them because we got horses, And I'd get off the ground and hover and try to fly around the ranch here, and it would scare the horses.
Scare the horses, yeah.
Because they throw off a little smoke because you run jet or helicopters really rich.
Uh-huh. And here I am saying, uh-huh, I don't know. I don't know from beans.
Oh, but it's a gas. To do as a family hobby, for what you're going to do, you couldn't find a more wholesome hobby and more fun, and it's not that expensive for what you folks are going to be doing.
No, it's actually not. In fact, we figured that if we buy the plane first and put it together, by the time we get the plane built, we'll have maybe enough money to buy the engine and get the engine on. Then by the time we have the engine broke in and we've studied the plane for a little while, and imagined flying it, then we can afford the radio control unit and then we can go out and fly it.
Be ready about springtime, and you can find someone that can teach you, like the one gentleman called in. Fataba has that cable that you can attach.
Uh-huh.
fly it. It's a wonderful airplane to teach somebody how to fly on.
Well, reading the ad, I don't see how you could fail, and that's what attracted us to it, because it literally says that it flies itself.
Yeah, it does.
It says it can take itself off, fly itself, and land itself. All you have to do is point it to a place where there's not a tree. Is that right?
That's exactly true with the Telemaster. It's a wonderful trainer.
Well,
I don't know about the Telemaster Senior,
uh-huh.
But as airplanes go, the bigger they are, the easier they are to fly.
Well, let me read to you what it says about the Telemaster Senior. It's got over 8 feet wingspan. It says 95-inch span, almost 8 feet, 1,330 square-inch wing area, plus 320 square-inch lifting stabilizer area, 63 inches long, that's the fuselage, ultralight balsa construction for four channels and 40 to 60 engines. Senior Telemaster uses four RC channels. A fifth channel could be used to make the ailerons also function as flaps, known as flaperons. With flaperons, it nearly hovers into landings. And then it says, nothing flies like Senior Telemaster. Senior Telemaster is so lightweight that we found it flies beautifully with a 45-size engine.
Mm-hmm. I would recommend that one, personally, because it takes a 60-size engine, and the bigger OS Max 60, as you get up bigger in the engines, they run better, and they... But the OS 35 and the 40 size, they run really good too. But
uh-huh.
If I was doing it over, and I'm hoping one of these days I'll have some grandchildren that will want to get into it. That's what I would get, would be the Senior Telemaster and put a 60 size engine in it, and just because then once you get to know what you're doing, then you can do all kinds of stuff with it, do rolls and loops.
You know, I'm glad we got into this because I want to ask you, what is the best engine to have, two-stroke or four-stroke, and why?
Well,
I know the two-stroke is less expensive.
Yeah.
It's also louder. Other than that, I don't know what the difference between the two engines is. Other than I would imagine you would have to have a larger size for a four-stroke, because they can't be as powerful as a two-stroke the same size. I mean, that just can't be.
Well, it would turn less RPM.
Yeah.
The two-stroke, it has a little more power. You can put a bigger or a more pitch on the prop.
For which engine?
For the four-stroke.
Four-stroke? Wow.
Yeah, but I've always been I had a Piper Cub, scale Piper Cub that I had a four-stroke engine.
I need you to talk louder now. You're starting to fade away on me.
Okay. I had a Piper Cub that I put a four-stroke engine in it, and they sound totally different. But it had plenty of power, and it sounded even a little more realistic as airplanes go when they're flying. You get them something that big up there, it looks just like the real thing.
Uh-huh.
And whether it's the two-stroke or the four, they're so reliable that, and I'm an OS Max person, or Bob Violet and his engine, but those are high-performance engines. But for what you people want to do, you couldn't go wrong with OS Max or Super Tiger.
You're starting to fade out on me again.
Say it again?
I said you're starting to fade out on me again. I need you to keep
Super
your...
Super Tiger is another good engine.
Uh-huh.
But again, you'll never go wrong buying an OS Max. They break in really well and fast, and you just have no problem in getting them started when it's cool outside or whatever.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's another thing. Do they come with instructions on how to break them in, and are those the instructions? Is that the way we should do it?
Well, you should run them rich. In the beginning, for probably the first four or five flights,
yeah,
and then you can tweak them out to where they're running. What you want to do is when you start the airplane, you want to have somebody there that can pick the airplane up, and you turn push the throttle all the way open, and have the airplane pointed skyward.
Yeah.
And because it'll always lean out going with the attitude that way. And if it starts to cut out, then you have it too lean. And you just, or it'll start to force cycle. And you can hear it when it leans out. And when you lean it out, you just turn it back a couple of clicks, and it should be perfect right there.
And that's the way you would normally run it. But breaking it in, how do you break in the engines? I remember when I was a boy, but those were completely different engines. And I don't know if it would be the same or not. We had little tables that we, you know, had screwed motor mounts onto, and we would just mount the engine on this table and start it up and then run it real lean for about three or four tanks of fuel, and that it was considered to be broken in at that point.
Yeah, and that hasn't changed. Only I've always done it inside, you know, in the airplane.
Uh-huh.
Just run it richer so that there's a lot of smoke coming out of the exhaust, and you can see the vapor coming out of there.
Uh-huh.
So for the first two or three flights with two or three tankfuls, you run it a little rich, and then from there you just tweak it out to what you want, and off you go.
But you should never run a model airplane engine real lean.
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
No, not only could you damage the engine, but it could cut out on you when you're climbing out.
Uh-huh.
As the one lady expressed there about takeoffs, and you could lose your engine and then have to ditch in a beam field or something that would poke a hole in your wing.
Uh-huh.
But...
Well, I'm glad I remembered something.
Actually, everything you remembered about the old Foxes and the old McCoy. Remember the McCoy?
The McCoy, right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
McCoy was a wonderful engine.
Yeah.
For fuel control.
Yep, it was. And it was a very popular engine, too.
Yes, it was. And I've heard that they're making some kind of comeback. I don't know, but like I said, I'm an OS Max guy and always probably will be.
When I was a boy, OS Max had just started up, and people were very skeptical about it. They loved Inyas, they loved Fox, they loved McCoy, and so there was a period of time when it was questionable whether OS Max was going to make it as a model airplane engine company, because people were not buying their engines. And then I don't know what happened after that, because I grew up and never did anything with it again. Unfortunately, I wish that I had now, as a matter of fact.
It won't take long. You do a little reading. You got Model Airplane News there. That's a good magazine. And you've got, in Arizona there, you have to have a radio control club.
Well, there probably is. I just don't know anything about it. And there may be one right here in this town or in this valley.
I bet there would be, or at least someone that has got permission to fly in someone's big field or range there.
Uh-huh.
I've never been to Arizona. I don't know how big it is, wide open it is.
It's big, and it's wide open everywhere.
You just don't want to get near any high-tension wires or radio tower where you could get interference. Some microwave towers will interfere sometimes at certain spots.
Uh-huh.
So you want to kind of stay away from that.
How about an FM radio station antenna?
Yeah, or a microwave tower, or just, you know, high tension.
Uh-huh.
Things, of course, for multiple reasons. But, boy, I'll tell you couldn't have better radio and better airplane to teach the children how to fly.
Well, that's incredible that we knew absolutely nothing about it, and those are the things we gravitated right to.
Yeah, and the fuel is important, too. You want to get a good fuel. I don't know what they have out there.
We don't. Anything we get will have to be through mail order.
Oh, really? There's no hobby stores out there?
No, not at all. There was one in Sholo for about a year, and then it disappeared. We went over there one day, and it was gone. There was a shoe store in its place.
Well, we've got three of them here in Michigan, or in Ohio, where I'm at. And you can pretty much buy anything there that you want. If they don't have it, you can order it. Our hobbies are...
Well, you got to remember, this is a very rural area where we live, and the closest thing that you could even think of referring to as a town would be 50 miles away. I mean, we call this a town, Eager, but it's really more like a community than a town. And these two towns have one Safeway between them, and that's it.
Yeah. Sounds like someplace I'd like to live. I live out in the country, but people are moving in droves from Toledo and...
they're smart.
And coming out of these... but things don't build up. It's,
well, it's not just that. Everything is deteriorating in these large population areas. It's like a bunch of rats in a cage. Well, I remember in Los Angeles, everybody knew everybody that they worked with, but they never, ever knew their next-door neighbor. It was incredible. And rudeness, and everybody's in such a hurry all the time. When you live in these large population areas, it's like society goes backwards for some reason.
And road rage is a big deal here.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you don't want to look at somebody the wrong way or they might pull a gun out and shoot you.
Well, see, that's what happens. It's a terrible place to be. And I happen to know that the future is going to get pretty tough. And when things get tough in large cities like that, people turn on each other. And so it's not a good idea to be there for...
And I know you live in Arizona. If you had your druthers, what state would you think would be the best one to live in, or doesn't it matter?
Why? Right here. That's why we're here. We chose this place. We could have gone anywhere in fact, we could have gone anywhere in the world we wanted at the time that we decided to move. We came here because this is just absolutely the most beautiful place that I've ever been in, and I've been all over the world. We are right on one of the 20, there's only 20 scenic drives in the whole United States that are designated as scenic drives. We're right on one of them. We can drive between 10 and 15 minutes in any direction and be at a lake fishing. We have virgin forest within 30 minutes of here. We have some of the most incredible historic spots in the nation. It's just an incredibly beautiful area, and the skies, I couldn't even begin to describe the pure blue skies that we have here with no smog and no dirt and no pollution, and at night the stars are literally magnified. It's like you're looking through a magnifying glass, and we're at 7,500 feet, so you can see stars that most people will never see in their life unless they come up here and unless they specifically come to a place like this where the sky is absolutely pure and clear and clean.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Does the fact that you moved there too have anything to do with what you were talking about on your show night before last on federal jurisdiction?
Yes, that has something to do with it also. The feds have no jurisdiction anywhere in the state of Arizona. Arizona retained jurisdiction over all public lands, even in the National Forest and BLM land. The federal government has no jurisdiction within this state. Now, the politicians try to keep that a secret, and until I came out and revealed it, nobody really knew about it but me.
Is that just in Arizona, or are there other states?
No, there are other states. I can't tell you what other states there are, just right off the top of my head, but there are other states.
How about Michigan?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I really don't know. You know, Michigan used to be what called the Northwest Territory during the early days of this country.
Yeah. I do know that.
That was Tecumseh Territory.
Yeah. And as I was listening to your show the other night, because I've studied jurisdictional arguments and looked up Supreme Court cases as well, and I've been right in the courtrooms here where... it doesn't matter. The judges just railroad right over people, even when they raise the jurisdictional.
But it does matter, because if he railroads right over you, that's grounds for an appeal. And anytime they give you grounds for an appeal, you have a chance to go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has never, ever in its history failed to rule against the federal government in a jurisdictional issue. Never failed, not once.
Well, that's interesting. But I've noticed more and more here in the courts here in where I live, the municipal courts in Toledo. And
but you see, the thing is, and let me explain this to you. The way people get in trouble with federal courts that don't have jurisdiction over the whatever they're being charged with or over them in particular, if you walk into that court and answer a summons, you have given them jurisdiction voluntarily.
That's right. I agree with you on that.
That's absolutely correct. So people get themselves in trouble, and that's really why they don't come after me, is because they know that I'm absolutely right. I've proven it in the law. I've posted it to the website. I've sent it to every law enforcement official in the state and all of the senators and representatives, and they're going to have to actually do something that would cause it to come up to the Supreme Court, and then they would be paying this family for the rest of our lives. If they ever did that. Not only that, but in the process, we will defend ourselves with every means at our disposal, which means a lot of people are going to die. And they don't want another Ruby Ridge or Waco on their hands either.
Yeah.
They've got egg on their face. They've done some very stupid things, outright treasonous things, despotic and tyrannical, and they're suffering for it now. And so they don't want to do it again.
Guys,
go ahead.
My wife and I were sitting at our kitchen table having coffee the day before Thanksgiving last year, and I get a call from the school principal that there was an emergency pertaining to my son. And so I hurry up and hop in my pickup truck and start, and the school's about 2 miles away, and I got almost to the school, and I noticed behind me there was a caravan of cars with two Monroe County deputy sheriffs behind me. And they pulled me over, and I was then surrounded with all kinds of people in camouflage with machine guns.
Jackbooted thugs.
Yeah.
The Nazis were out that day.
Well, see, I was convicted, or I pled nolo contendere to save my marriage of domestic violence.
Uh-huh.
Back in 95. And I can tell you, I didn't do anything. I'm not a violent person. But
oh, this happens all the time. Women all across this country have learned how to leverage the politically correct victim status that they've been endowed with by the socialists in power. And so if they get angry or emotionally hurt, not realizing what kind of damage they may be doing to themselves and their children and their family, they go off that end.
It's haunted us now for the last 4 years, because I've been arrested now four times for the same thing. The last time by the feds, and they came here with
for the same incident.
Oh yeah,
our supposed incident.
Well, see, that new federal law went into effect in July of '96.
They have no jurisdiction over domestic violence, even if it is really domestic violence inside the territorial boundaries of any state. Yeah, their law only applies within the boundaries of the Federal District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, et cetera, et cetera.
But they charged me with that new law, and now they've stolen or are in possession of the same firearm that the sheriff gave me back after I was off probation of the original incident.
Uh-huh.
And the sheriff gave me back the firearm, then the feds take it back. And they passed the law after the fact, after my...
They can't do that.
Well, but they did it.
They can't do it, and you have grounds for a good... In fact, you could walk away with millions of dollars. Constitution forbids them passing a law and then going back and persecuting somebody who broke the law before it was passed. It wasn't a law then. It's unconstitutional. Why aren't you dragging these people into court? You could own their homes, their cars, everything.
Well, I've been doing that.
Well, good for you. Please continue.
Rip
their asses to pieces.
I've been in court, just
get all their stuff.
Yeah, I've been so adamant about it and so persistent that they find all kinds of things to arrest me for.
That's called an ex post facto law. The Constitution absolutely forbids it.
Yes, good deputy sheriffs, good people, law enforcement people that have lost their jobs over that law. But nevertheless, they did do that. I was in jail for 11 days. They arrested me the day before Thanksgiving. They set me up is what they did, and I was just having coffee at the kitchen table. And they came in here and with a warrant, just terrified my wife. And I had three firearms. I had two 45s and a Mossberg shotgun, all legal firearms. And
did they knock on the door?
Oh, they knocked on the door, but they were getting ready to shoot my two dogs. So my wife let them in.
Did they just barge in, or did you let them in?
My wife let them in. She was scared to death. They had guns, and they were...
Did they have a warrant?
Yes, they did. But they only had a warrant for firearms. They searched the whole house, and plus they downloaded my computer. So I was getting ready to sue them again.
Do it.
You know, they got everything. And you know what they charged me with?
What?
They couldn't find anything else. They charged me with hiring, conspiring to hire a hitman to kill a judge.
Where did that come from?
They just made it up.
Well, you know, I believe you absolutely, because if none of this that you're telling us was true, you wouldn't be on the radio talking about it, because you wouldn't want anybody to know.
That's true. I can tell you that I didn't do anything.
Yeah. And not only that, I have seen them do this same kind of stuff all across this country to people who have never hurt a fly, never wanted to hurt a fly, and never would hurt a fly.
That's right. And I'm one of those people, and I'm 34 years old, Bill, and this happened to me when I was 40 years old, and before that, I never even had a traffic ticket. I never even had a police officer behind me in my car with his lights on. And all of a sudden, I went from this all-American boy to this terrorist conspirator that they painted me as and ruined my life, bankrupted my business, stole my property, and every time you try to sue them, they'll just come at you for something else.
And well, so and then sue them again. But what courts are you suing them in?
Well, federal court.
No. You're in the wrong court. You should be suing them in state court, in the state, in the location where it happened. And sue the individuals, not the agencies. You understand what I'm saying? You'll win. You'll end up with everything that they own. But you're in the wrong court. In the first place, the federal courts aren't even courts under the Constitution. They're tribunals. And you're going to learn about this starting next week on this broadcast. I'm going to start teaching you guys some stuff that's going to just blow your mind.
Well, I certainly look forward to that. I've got evidence even on the prosecutor here. He puts courthouse employees, little clerks and secretaries on the jury, on a petite jury, so he gets a favorable conviction.
Oh, that's big time. That's felony stuff, jury tampering. You can put that guy away forever.
Well, we've proven grand jury tampering here and everything else.
Well, all grand juries are tampered with. The grand jury does not function according to the law anymore. They're the puppets of the prosecutor.
That's right. So how can they be independent?
Well, they're not. Not anymore. They're not lawful at all. And they... Well, don't get me started. There's not enough time left in this broadcast to get me started.
No, I didn't want to get you started. I wanted to help you and talk to you about I'll leave you my phone number if you like, if you need any problems or have any problems with your...
Okay, hold on. Let me get Doyle on the other phone with you, and we'll get your phone number because, you know, we really need somebody in this process that we can call and talk to that's had a lot of experience, and you sure qualify. So does Louise, but Louise has our number. She'll call us back tomorrow.
My parents live in Arizona somewhere, and they just moved 2 years ago, and I plan to visit them this year, so maybe I can help you out or something there when I'm there.
Okay. Doyle's on the phone.
Okay.
So I'm going to drop you off here so that nobody across the world hears your telephone number, and you can give it to Doyle.
Okay. Thank you, and I enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks a lot. And, boy, I hope everybody in the world is getting a good feelings from this broadcast tonight, because this is, you know, we're talking about some good things here. And, you know, model airplanes transcends boundaries and age groups and genders and everything else. And by the way, folks, just in case you don't know it, this is a worldwide broadcast. And the reason it's a worldwide broadcast, rather than getting on some radio station in the United States, is because we want the world to know what's going on here in the United States. All of the rest of the people in the world who dream of a future where we can all be free have to know what's happening here. Because if we here in the United States of America don't win this battle, if we lose this battle for freedom, if despotism takes down this country, that means there will be no more freedom for anyone, anywhere in this entire world. And the American people are the only ones who can stop it. They're the only ones who still have weapons and know how to use them and still have some memory of what freedom really is and might be willing to stand up and fight for it. So we want all of those of you listening in every country in the world where you might be listening. And we know we have listeners in Russia and many other places. We know this because letters tell us this. And so we know that people are listening and they're paying attention and they are learning things. And we want you to know that this is your broadcast. This is your broadcast. So we haven't had any calls from outside the country except Canada so far. We have an awful lot of listeners in Canada. I know we have some listeners in Mexico and Central America and all throughout the Caribbean and Russia, as I just explained to you. And so I also understand why we don't get a lot of calls from outside the United States, even though those are the people that we're talking to. It's because it's so expensive. And I used to correspond with a gentleman who lived in a country in Africa, and that's when I was on WWCR. And I was absolutely dumbfounded at how much it cost him to send me a letter. He had to literally spend about a week's pay in order to send me a letter at the rate of payment that he was receiving for his job where he lived. And so I understand that telephone charges in other countries are exorbitant, and fees to send packages and letters are sometimes exorbitant depending upon where you live. So we know you're listening, and this broadcast is for you. It's to help you understand that you need to be fighting for freedom just as hard as we're fighting for freedom, and you have to be prepared for the eventuality that we might lose this battle. I don't think we will. But if we do, it's going to affect you no matter where you live in this world. If we lose freedom here, you haven't got a chance. You haven't got a prayer. And you'll lose it. You'll lose it. You'll lose it. So, keep listening. And Doyle, if you're out there, if you're listening, we've got about 20 minutes left in this broadcast. If you'd like to come in and do some of your stuff, I think we need to do that. In fact, I know we need to do that. he's probably still on the telephone with the gentleman that I was just talking to. So, is that him coming? I heard somebody coming. There he is. Okay, folks. Doyle is coming. He's going to do his thing. We're going to take 101.1 anymore. We're going to take 98.5 FM off the air so Doyle can do his thing with the commercials. And for all the rest of you, please pay attention because we've got some fantastic things to offer you. Christmas is coming. You can help support this broadcast by purchasing your Christmas gifts here from us. And don't forget, Doyle, we've still got... We still have one Columbia River knife left, folks, and this is a fantastic knife. Doyle will tell you all about it. Okay, 101.1 is going off the air. It will be back on the air at 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And here Almost. Here's Doyle.
Alrighty.
There you go, my friend.
Alrighty.
All right. I don't know what you're going to use for taking a walk music. You can pick whatever you want.
Alrighty. Alright. Will do. Okay. What I want to start out with tonight is the, I want to start out with some of the published material here, the on paper. Start out with the treason documents. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act, or on confession in open court. The Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture, except during the life of the person attained. That's from the U.S. Constitution, Article 3, Section 3. Okay, the treason documents. So, absolute proof of treason against the United States of America and the 50 sovereign states. The United States Constitution is not in effect. The United States is not sovereign. The United States of America is a vassal state of the United Nations, and the armed forces of the U.S. is the police force for the New World Order. This is an excellent set of documents, 628 pages, with official U.S. government documents throughout. You can find all these through your own research. After you get the packet, if you don't believe something in there, go look, you'll find it. Use your libraries, Freedom of Information Acts and whatnot. It's the treason documents, 628 pages, plus government documents. The price is $85, postage paid. It's a whole lot of information. It's a really good set of stuff. If you want to find out a lot of information in one spot, this is something you should get. That's the treason documents, $85, postage paid. I think next, here's what I'll do. Okay, next, we'll talk about Behold a Pale Horse. It's a, the book written by William Cooper. 500 pages. Most well-documented, most suppressed information ever published. It's an excellent book. Professionally published. We're not talking like stapled together newsletters. This is a regular book. Very nice, glossy, full-color covers. Documentation. It's referenced. It's an excellent book. Years of research went into the writing of this. And years of work in directly writing this. It's a really big book, over 500 pages. It's Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper. The price is $30, postage paid. That's Behold a Pale Horse, it's $30, postage paid. Now, if you'd like to order any of these things or inquire, ask for information, send correspondence, I want to give out the address and phone number now. The address is Hour of the Time, care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. The phone number, if you'd like to send a fax or leave a message, is 520-333-4555. 78. Again, I'll repeat that. Area code 520-333-4578. You can send faxes to that number, or you can leave a message. There's voicemail boxes there. Use it however best suits your needs. You can use also the address and phone number, like I said. You can use it for information or correspondence, either one, or if you'd like to inquire about products. It's all available. Okay. Next thing I'd like to cover is the audiobook version of Behold a Pale Horse. This is professionally produced by Alternative Audio. It's a boxed two-tape set, 3 hours of information. It's an abridged version of the printed book. It's the audio version of Behold a Pale Horse. It contains 10 minutes of previously unpublished material. It's an excellent set. These audio tape sets of books make really good gifts to people who have those long commutes via work or whatnot. or people who drive professionally in their jobs, or there's many people who just don't like to read, don't have the time to, and whatnot. These are really good sets. It's read by the author himself, William Cooper. I'll read you a little short summary right from the audiobook. William Cooper, a former U.S. Naval Intelligence Briefing Team member, accurately predicted the fall of the Soviet Union, the end of the Berlin Wall, and the invasion of Panama. His information came from top-secret documents that he read while with the Intelligence Briefing Team and from over 20 years of research. William Cooper reveals his theories on the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the war on drugs, and UFOs. He urges the listener, like it or not, everything is changing. The result will be the most wonderful experience in human history or the most horrible enslavement you can imagine. Be active or abdicate. The future is in your hands. The audiobook of Behold a Pale Horse is $19.95, postage paid. Those are sent via Postal Service. Again, $19.95, postage paid for the audiobook Behold a Pale Horse. If you'd like to order that, it's a really good set. Okay, next I think what I want to cover is some of the audio tapes, former broadcasts and whatnot. We have three different price brackets here depending on how long the show is. A 1 hour broadcast, the price is $11, postage paid. For a 2 hour broadcast, the price is $12, postage paid. And for a 3 hour broadcast, the price is $13, postage paid. So just remember, 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hours, it's $11, $12, or $13, postage paid. We have two references here for audio tapes. Number one is the 1998 broadcast list. It's every broadcast from January 5th forward. It's every broadcast for 1998. The list gives you the show number, the broadcast number, the date, and a one-line title or description of the show. See if you want to look through it and see maybe subjects you might be interested in or a certain show that you heard and would be interested in owning the tape of it. It's really easy to find. And because it is cross-reference of titles and dates, it's really easy to find a show that you may have heard prior. There's some really good stuff in here. For instance, American Crisis, number 1 and 2. It's a two-tape set. Really good. Affidavit and Jurisdiction Challenge, number 1, 2, and 3. It's a three-tape set. Those should be ordered all together. Again, the list gives you the broadcast number, the date, and the brief description or one-line title-type thing of the show. Gives all the prices. The prices are $11, postage paid for a one-hour show. $12 postage paid for a two-hour show, and $13 postage paid for a three-hour show. If you would like to get information on books, videos, whatnot, the treason documents, the different videos that are for sale, the books, the audio tapes, the special tape sets, that's all available through the information packet. If you would like to get the information packet, you can write, you can write and just ask for the information packet. What you need to do is send a number 10 sized, self-addressed, stamped envelope. That's a number 10 SASE with 75 cents postage. That's to cover the weight. And then $1, which that covers the reproduction cost of the information packet. And in there you'll find the special audio tape sets, the books, the advertisements, the information about Veritas, the videos. It's a really nice little setup. If you don't have the information packet, you really should get it. Give you a good overview of what's available. Again, that's $1 to cover the cost of the information packet, plus a number 10 self-addressed stamped envelope for 75 cents postage. And just a real brief note. Hey, I'm so-and-so. Here's my address. I'd like the information packet. It's all we need. We'll know what you want. Okay. I want to cover some of the other items that are available. I think what we'll do next is Veritas. Veritas is an international full-size newspaper. It's the only newspaper which addresses issues that affect your individuality. It fully documents sources for readers to confirm. It's hand-delivered to key representatives and media bureaus in Washington, D.C. Veritas presents the facts. You make your own decision. Veritas challenges the readers to think for themselves. Veritas is a full-size newspaper. It's not a newsletter or a little packet thing that you get in the mail. It's a full-size newspaper with illustrations, photographs, documented sources, stories. It's a really nice deal. The prices. If you would like to get a sample copy of the current issue of Veritas, it's $5. If you want to see how Veritas, what it is, how it's laid out, is it all that we portray it to be, it's $5 for the current issue as a sample copy. If you would like a subscription to Veritas, it's $55 for 12 issues. That's $55 for a 12-issue subscription. All you need to do is include the payment with a request for a 12-issue subscription to Veritas. Give us a shipping address and your name, and you'll immediately be added to the subscriber list. Veritas, really good paper. Okay, again, I want to cover a couple general facts here. Okay, first, the mailing address is Hour of the Time, care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. If you would like to call and leave a message on the voicemail, or if you'd like to send a fax and whatnot, the number is area code 520-333-4578. Payment. If you wish to order something, we accept blank money orders, cash, gold or silver coin. That's it. Completely blank money orders. Don't fill them out, please. Completely blank money orders, cash, gold or silver coins only. We do not accept checks, okay, so please don't send a check, because it just causes a lot of logistic hassles on our end, and on your end also, because then there's a delay. Okay, also, if you wish to order something, please be very specific. If you send some odd amount of money, please make sure to tell us what it's for, because some amounts may be the same, and then if you just send a payment, for instance, an envelope with no explanation of what it's for, we're not sure what you want. So that causes a lot of problems and then correspondence back and forth and a big lag time. So just be real explicit with what you'd like. Send the payment and the method that we outlined, which is blank money order, cash, gold or silver coin, no checks are accepted. And send it to the address that I gave above. It's Hour of the Time, care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Okay, next I think I'll want to cover the radios. And let me reach them. Okay, here we go. Ooh. Okay, I want to highlight a couple radios that we have for offer here. First off, I'd like to cover the Sanjean ATS 909. That's pretty much the flagship of their line. It's a really top-of-the-line shortwave radio. It's full-featured. It's comparable to many tabletop models as far as the features go. Comes with a digital keypad entry, full LCD display. It's AM, FM stereo, shortwave continuous coverage. There's five different tuning methods. You have direct frequency entry, which is using the keypad. Auto scanning, which it scans and stops at every signal. You have manual scanning, memory recall, and rotary tuning. It's got a mono and stereo selector switch. It's got manual alphanumeric editing, if you like. You can insert 8 alphanumeric characters in the display to identify a station, maybe a particular station you like to listen to and whatnot. RF gain. This thing is feature packed. Runs on four AA batteries. Runs also on a 110 to DC converter that just plugs into the wall outlet, and you can run the radio if you want to save the cost on batteries and whatnot. It's the ATS-909. It's a flagship of the Sanjian line. It's one of the best shortwave radios out there. The price is $274.95 plus $8 shipping and handling. Okay, again, it's the ATS-909 from Sanjian. Shortwave FM, upper sideband, lower sideband, continuous coverage, $274.95 plus $8 shipping and handling. One of the other ones I'd like to cover real quick here is the ATS-404. The ATS-404 is the newest model. It is full of the most desired features. At the same time, they re-engineered the whole thing to bring the overall cost down by getting rid of some of the very finite features that weren't as often used according to their market studies. It's a beautiful set. Really good. Really high quality unit. Continuous coverage again. It's got auto memory scan, a full LCD display, digital keypad entry. It's got a lock switch to lock out all your pre-made entries. 45 memory presets. Tone control, AM, FM, shortwave, comes with a carrying case, stereo headphones to listen to it, full-blown package. It's the ATS-404. It's a really nice setup here. The price is, for the ATS-404, $99.95 plus $8 shipping and handling. Okay, it's $99.95 for the ATS-404 plus $8 shipping and handling. Okay. That's about all the time I have tonight. Thank you for listening, everybody. Appreciate your support. And don't forget, it's getting time to buy gifts. See you later.
I just want to thank all of you who called in to help us out with this model airplane project. We really appreciated it, and I got to tell you, I was amazed at how much you know about those things. And thank you. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. You're listening to 98.5 FM, Eager. You're listening to 98.5 FM, Eager.